to call in right now. 735, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Johnny in the center of the universe, Philo, Illinois. How are you, Johnny?
Stevie J, we're good down here in the center. What's happening?
Well, Mike Ditka, and this morning must be Bristol, Connecticut. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, we're good. Good news, bad news. I thought the Bears, again, looked pretty solid, but Jay Cutler out for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb, Mike. What a blow that is.
Yeah, he really is, because he's really playing at a very high level right now. I mean, the Bears are playing at a very high level, but his play has really been outstanding, and I think he's proven he's a lot more than just a quarterback. He's a leader of that offense, and I think the people respect him a lot more than they did last year or the year before. But, you know, Jacob Haney's got to step in. I mean, it's an opportunity. You know, he's got a good team around him. He's got a good running game, a good defense, good special teams. You got to be able to handle it.
Well, I thought you're right, though. Cutler this year did kind of step up as the leader, which was a difference, and I didn't know he was out for that long. Steve, did they say that right after? Well, I don't know when you got that news.
Yeah, that was it. Came out at the end of the game last night, then again all over this morning, 6 to 8 weeks. That's a long time.
No, he's probably out for the year, guys.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the problem. Maybe for the playoffs. If you break your thumb on your throwing hand, I would think it's going to be at least 8 weeks.
Well, Johnny and I had that plan where the Bears are going to beat Green Bay up there, and then Green Bay would have to go to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the
Well, the Bears did look good, and Haney looked great in that game last year, I thought. So maybe he can do it, Stevie.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Never know. Well, there's buzz around here, Mike. The Fighting Illini were 6-0. We've lost 5 straight. It's a brutal time for Ron Zook. I like him. He's a friend of mine. I'm rooting for him. But he only has 2 years left, and the new AD here has to decide whether to extend or let him go. And it's a tough, tough time for all these families, all these coaches. Sometimes people, they can be so brutal. They were screaming at Ron as he left the field. Fire him, get rid of him. And people forget these are human beings.
Well, that's the bad part about it, Steve. You're right. I mean, they are people. They got families. They have lives. But you got to understand, the sports fan doesn't consider that. I mean, he pays for the ticket. He feels he's got a right to abuse or say anything he wants to anybody. And basically, that's what happened. So I feel sorry for Ron, too. I think they're a better team than they are. They just they don't seem to be able to get over the hump. And that bothered me. I thought at times, the other day I watched a lot of the game, and I thought they played very, very well.
Oh, I thought they had a good chance to win, and, you know, it's some bad bounces and some mistakes. And, Steve, I don't know, you know, they start switching quarterbacks on Saturday against Wisconsin, which I don't think that's a tough thing when you start switching quarterbacks every series. That's very experimental and kind of controversial, and I don't know that that was the right time to try that. And, of course, that's where the fan's going to have his opinion, and they're not thinking about – I don't think they're brutal and don't care. I think they're just looking at the game, and for them it's a game. They paid some money. They want to look at the game. They're not thinking about that this is jobs and livelihoods for lots of people around. I mean, a program has a lot of people that it supports. So, that's part of the deal. You know, I'm sure Ron understands, you know, Mike, that's part of the territory.
When you take those jobs, you got to understand, you know, the chance of getting fired are pretty good.
I think it was Glanville said there's two kinds of coaches. There's them that's fired and them that's going to be fired.
I think Bum Phillips said that was a great one.
Of those Texas guys. Yeah.
All right, I saw LSU play. I saw Oregon play. A Big Ten doesn't have teams that look like LSU, Mike. I mean, these upper echelon, LSU, I've never seen such collegiate team speed. Unbelievable.
Well, I agree with you. I think they're the best team in the country. Again, you know, people in Alabama would argue their team is pretty good. I think Arkansas is going to play LSU this week. We'll see what happens, you know. But I was listening to something that was on TV this morning, and I have to agree. I mean, when you get the computers figuring this stuff out, you know, it's not football. For some reason, you know, if you got three teams that got the same record, and you look at what they did head-to-head, you don't go back into the computer and say, well, they played this team and this team had, you know, a weaker schedule. Come on. Hey, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that's right, too. But you could almost take LSU, Alabama, Arkansas, and Georgia and have your national championship little playoff with those four teams, because the SEC's got some of the best teams in the country in that conference.
Absolutely. You're right about it. I don't know if there's anybody who can beat those teams. I thought Oklahoma State was a pretty good football team. They got handled. I mean, Oklahoma, Baylor handled them the other day. Oregon got handled by SC. So I don't know who's good or not. But, I mean, on any given day, I guess anybody can beat anybody.
And I'll tell you something, Steve. Illinois played toe-to-toe with the top 20 program at Wisconsin. We really were. We actually beat them the first half. And I thought we looked at a level that's extremely commendable. So Zook's guys have gotten the program and players up to that level, and then it's a matter of the win, and haven't been able to do it, like Mike says. Just can't quite get that consistency and over the hump in terms of putting the win forward, because I think the competition level's at the level we want. It's not like we're not competitive, Steve.
No, absolutely right. And in fact, Illinois had six winning teams in the last 20 years, and Ron's had three of them. So it's from a standpoint of record at Illinois, he's done pretty well. I mean, it's not as good as everybody wants, but it's better than it's been.
Yeah, so
it's tough.
It's very tough, and you know, it's I'm sticking with heavy lifting, Steve,
because
gravity is a lot more predictable than that football.
I told Johnny I'd sell everything and be some sort of high school football coach. He'd be terrific, but Bobby thinks he'd take those losses harder than anything. So.
I don't know, Mike. Yeah, coaching's fun. I'm sure you enjoy it, but Steve, you're talking to one of the best coaches that ever coached any sport anywhere right here.
Yeah, unbelievable. Mike Ditcomb, Brother Johnny on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. All right. Shock of the world, the super committee that was supposed to cut $1.4 trillion, it looks like they're not going to be able to figure out, Johnny. What a shock.
Well, and then, of course, there were some mandatory cuts into defense and
Medicare and some entitlements. And that
I bet you that doesn't happen either. I just have a hunch.
It says it's not even going to kick into 2013. And here's the question I have, Mike and John, is why can't, and we've discussed this before, why can't you simply say we're not going to increase these programs as much as scheduled, much like the 5, 6, and 7% annual absolute increases that they build in? Why don't you say, well, I'm going to increase 2%, which is kind of inflation, or even that, not even that, and you'd save trillions. I don't understand why that's rocket science.
Well, I don't understand either.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. As you know, you can understand what you want to understand. These people have taken positions. You know, they're not willing to give on one side. The other side's not willing to give on the other side. Whether you have the tax cuts or whether you have the spending cuts. I mean, it's crazy right now. And we're not looking out for the best interests of the United States of America. That's the problem. So when we talk about all our great Congress people, the people in running our country, we're going to think, really, are they running our country? Are they running? If they ran their household that way, they wouldn't have a house.
Well, we're not going to have a country if they keep running our country this way. Not in the way we would like to have it, I don't think.
I don't
think they're doing their jobs, Steve, as a group.
If you say, all right, you only want 2% instead of 6% increase, they'll say, well, if the rich would only pay their way and to get rid of these corporate jets, it's all class warfare. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's also not true. I don't think the rich can cover it.
Come on, figure it out. You know, no matter what anybody says. What do we have? We have 15% of the people pay about 90% of the taxes in this country. So, I mean, these people who are saying that are idiots. They make no sense. The majority of the people, it's a small percentage paying almost all the taxes. So that's just what it is. Now, the problem we have in our tax code, you want to fix it, fix it. Don't make the loopholes. Don't let these corporations who make billions of dollars get out without paying any taxes. And they do. And General Electric does. And why? Because they're in bed with somebody in politics.
Well, they have these tax codes, Steve, and you can learn. You're going to go right to the loopholes, and you're going to play your cards so that you minimize your taxes. It's just, it's very easy to do. But the problem, I think, too, Mike, Steve makes a point about 6 or 7% because no tax code can cover that kind of an increase in the budget we have. In about 15 to 20 years, we would have to pay 100% of everything everyone made in this country, which is $13 or $14 trillion, because that will be the budget in 15 or 20 years at the rate of increase. They do. I don't know if they don't understand math or they really are trying to change our entire capitalist system deliberately. It's a big fight. And the average American doesn't understand it either, Steve. But it's really a matter of not agreeing on which direction we want to go as a country. And our leaders are just not getting the job done. That's it. Now, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. That's the question.
Well, Pat Caddell and Doug Schoen, who are former Democratic pollsters this morning, have come out with a statement that says President Obama should abandon the reelection campaign and hand the Democratic Party over to Hillary Clinton. Good idea for the Democrats? Good idea?
Well, let me ask you a question. Who are they to say that? What makes them a genius? And who is she that she's qualified to do any better? Come on,
who
guys.
Is Pat Caddell? He's a fairly known Democratic.
He polled for Carter.
Sean, Carter, come on.
Yeah.
Carter is the worst president in this country. You have these experts now coming out. They're going to say, this guy should step down for her to step up. Stop it. And that's crazy. I mean, what's she ever done? What are her qualifications?
Her polling is good. She's like 67%.
Polling doesn't matter. Polling is an opinion of the people. It's not qualification of the individual.
Well, I think that what they're getting at, Mike, the Democrats don't think Obama's going to make it. Some of their experts are saying, whoa, we're in trouble as a party if we're going to hold the White House.
Shame on them if they don't think he's going to make it. That's all I can say.
And I don't think, Steve, it matters whether that's a good idea or not, because guess what? Obama's going to be the Democratic candidate for president. He's the incumbent. They're not going to get him to step down, and they're just going to have to go.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's all crazy stuff that you're here. These guys are, that's like blowing smoke out of the back of their head. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's going to be a very interesting election cycle.
Well,
and
they say that the only way the president wins is to be enormously negative, which we know about that. I mean, that's true.
But guys, let me ask you a question right now, just for the hell of it, because I'm not smart. Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him? Romney?
That's a question. I don't know, Mike. I think.
I'm not defending. I'm just saying, who's going to beat him? You got no candidate to beat him. Mm. So we go around. Who's going to beat him? Everyone that goes up, you slam Kane, you slam Kerry, Bachman. I mean, everybody, the media, they just bring him down. I'm just telling you now. Mm. We're saying, well, yeah, it looks this way, it looks that way. Well, I mean, come on. He's a moderate.
How about Newt Gingrich? Any chance of Newt Gingrich?
I love him. He got no chance.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He makes too much sense to have a chance.
I'm going to tell you that Gingrich or Romney or Perry would still have a chance if it boiled down to, okay, that's our candidate. But Mike makes a good point, Steve. It's tough when there seems to be a tremendous kind of bias towards one side or the other, and of course we feel there is towards the Democratic candidate. That helps. But I don't know. When things are going like this, Mike, I just don't know if it was a Republican in, they'd be finished. And now Obama's in a lot of trouble just because of the way things look to the voter. So it's interesting.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take our quick break. We'll be right back with Mike and Johnny in just a moment. 93.5, 95.3 Connect.
Street Future Eat Journal Report.
Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. We all know who Chris Matthews is, guys. You know who Chris Matthews is, right?
He is a, is it MSNBC?
MSNBC, extraordinarily liberal. I mean.
Come on. He's so liberal, it's pathetic.
All right, here's Chris Matthews on Barack Obama.
Something. There is no Peace Corps. There is no Special Forces. There is no 50-mile heist. There's no moon program. There's nothing to root for. What are we trying to do in this administration? Why does he want a second term? Would he tell us? What's he going to do in the second term? More of this? Is this it? Is this as good as it gets? Where are we going? We got to do something in the second term? He has yet to tell us. He has not said one thing about what he'd do in his second term.
All right, so
did he tell you in one time, did he say what he wants or what he thinks is best? Or what his solution is? The other guy's solution is no good, but he doesn't have a better one. So that, you
well, I'll tell you, though, Mike.
They are Big Mouse.
What Steve's pointing out there with that is that Matthews has been a pretty strong supporter.
Well, he's so liberal. How about Rachel Maddow? Him and Rachel Maddow had to get married.
Well, but are they turning on him? Are they turning on him and wanting somebody else? I mean, that's the whole thing is that I think now if you lose the left on some of this, what does that mean? Does it mean anybody? I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people on the left listen to Chris Matthews. He rambles on about this and that. He's ridiculous, actually. If you listen to him, he makes no sense at all. I mean, it's Rachel Maddow. I mean, it's these people. It's a joke. I mean, you talk about people who have no sense of, and no understanding of a two-party system. They're so liberal that it's ridiculous. They can't even comprehend anything that's not liberal.
It is difficult to rationally carry on a conversation sometimes with some of those folks, and then they won't answer questions or respond to a point. But I think it is a bad sign for Obama right now. But hey, politics is politics. He's got a lot of charisma still. I just don't know how he's going to play. Steve, what do you think about this?
I'm surprised that a guy like Chris Matthews would be so. And he's blaming, of course, the staff and some of the guys around him, all of this. But he hasn't suggested somebody else. But you're right, Johnny. There's no way Barack Obama's not running for president. Lyndon Johnson stepped down. But, I mean, other than that, who else has ever done? Harry Truman.
Well, it's just that Barack Obama's not going to do it. I don't see it in his nature to concede. He hasn't ever taken real accountability for much, and if he thinks they're turning on him, then that's going to be their problem too. But I think he'll be running. I think he'll be he's a formidable candidate, but losing support of a guy like Chris Matthews is a sign. It's a symptom, and that bodes well. And then Mike's point about, okay, when are we going to get our act together on the side of who doesn't want Obama and get a candidate that's focused on running against him and isn't kind of dividing it? Well, that's coming. We've got the Republican primaries in the next month or two.
Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich told the Occupy people to go get a job after they take a bath.
Well, I mean, he's right. And he's the only one calling it what it is. Guys, you know, you guys remember the 60s. It was all about war. They got to have a cause. Everybody's got to have a cause. So this is their cause. Now, you know, now everybody's offended because the police pepper sprayed them. Yeah. I'm not. If I'm where I'm not supposed to be, and I'm invading somebody else's property, somebody should pepper spray me.
Well, I think that I'd offer at least one of them a job, Steve, but I would expect them to clean up, okay? Maybe they should take a shower. Well, how about a shower?
What if I were to say, you know, the old elevator speech, if you got in an elevator today and Barack Obama was in there and you're from the third floor to the eighth floor, what would be your five-floor elevator speech of Barack Obama? Last time, Johnny, you said drill.
I said drill.
Drill.
Oh, drill for oil. Yeah, I think he had the moratorium on it. Said, hey, you got to lift that. But
would you say anything different today? What would you?
I don't know what I could say to the president right now. You caught me off guard there. It'd be tough. It'd be a surprise, wouldn't it? And then it's like, how you doing, Mr. President? Things aren't going so well.
I don't know either, but I would say stop the spending. Stop the regulations, the government regulations on everything. Government is involved in everything from the color of your toothpaste to anything else. It's pathetic. You know, like nobody can do anything unless the government says, oh, this is okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, do you get a sense that this is going to take a long time to recover here in America?
It's never going to go away.
What if Newt Gingrich were the next president? Would everybody feel better about business, about the economy?
Well, I believe they would. I really do. I believe a lot of good things can happen. But Newt Gingrich is only one man. You've got a Senate. Yep. You've got a House of Representatives. You've got people from both parties. And you have people from both parties who do not care about America. They care about their own special interests. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact. Now, they can deny it, but it's a fact.
Well, I think why Newt appeals to people right now and why he's moved up in the polls is because he is saying, hey, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to repeal this. We're going to cut that. This is what we're going to do. And he's not talking about percentages and general high platitude philosophy. He's talking about specific programs that he's going to cut back. And I think that's what people want to hear. What exactly are you going to do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to repeal the health care plan. All right, that's one. And then it's the Sarbanes-Oxley. And then there's that Dodd's plan, the Frank Dodd.
Yeah.
And Dodd-Frank, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And those kinds of things that have added these regulations and weighted down our system and are slowing things down. And it's not just the bureaucracy and the things that slows down, Steve. It's the opportunity for government to take more and more control. And when the government starts to really turn bad, then we start to lose our freedom. So it's an erosion of your freedom is really how you look at it. And this is an important fight.
John, you had it right on the button. Government wants more control of your life, period.
We're going to leave it there.
They don't think anybody knows how to do anything but them.
We will be back on Friday. Mike and Johnny, thank you again. Mike will watch you on Countdown tonight on ESPN. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. You take care. God bless.
God bless you.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later, guys.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3. Connect FM.